First, the battle for the White House spilling over into the legal arena with just 3 weeks to the election. Hearings have kicked off in the Senate for the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett for the Supreme Court bench, the country's highest court.
Personally picked by President Donald Trump, but the Democrats are fiercely trying to pick it apart as the potential appointment is for a lifetime and will tilt the court even further to the conservative right. Well, Democrats have admitted as much that they cannot stop Mrs. Barrett's confirmation as Republicans control the Senate with 53 seats. Only 50 votes are needed for confirmation, which could happen as early as next week. A vacancy on the bench emerged after liberal Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. Mrs. Barrett is a practicing Catholic, well-regarded by conservative Christians who share many of her values, including opposition to abortion and same-sex marriage. She testified as her husband and six of their seven children sat behind, including two adopted from Haiti.
Courts have a vital responsibility to the rule of law, which is critical to a free society. But courts are not designed to solve every problem or right every wrong in our public life. I believe Americans of all backgrounds deserve an independent Supreme Court that interprets our Constitution and laws as they are written. I have been nominated to fill Justice Ginsburg's seat, but no one will ever take her place. I will be forever grateful for the path she marked and the life she led.
Democratic Senator and Vice Presidential Candidate Kamala Harris accused the Republicans of trying to, quote, ram through a lifetime appointment while almost 7 million Americans have already voted. Now, her fellow Democrats call the process a sham, and they also say that the picking Barrett is an attack on health care and American lives as the Obamacare Affordable Care Act comes before the Supreme Court a week after the election. Mrs. Barrett previously criticized a ruling that upheld the act, and President Trump wants the act repealed.
Your participation, let me be very blunt, in any case involving Donald Trump's election would immediately do explosive, enduring harm to the court's legitimacy and to your own credibility. You must recuse yourself.
I will object. Anytime anyone tries to attribute to you a policy position and hold you to that, you're not a policymaker, you're a judge.
And things are certainly heating up on the election front as well, with President Donald Trump marking his campaign comeback just 11 days after testing positive for COVID-19.
Well, the White House has finally confirmed that Mr. Trump has tested negative for the coronavirus on consecutive days, making him no longer infectious.
We take you now live to Sanford, Florida, where the president is holding his first of four rallies this week. Let's listen in.
Right now, I'm fighting to make sure we eradicate the virus, rebuild the economy, and save our country from the radical left. We're hitting record stock market numbers, record 401ks, record stocks, record job numbers. Don't blow it. Don't blow it.
Well, he'll be visiting three other battleground states, Pennsylvania, Iowa, and North Carolina in the coming days.
How about where he gets...
But meanwhile, Democratic rival Joe Biden made some of his most direct attacks on the president at an event in Ohio that he accused Mr. Trump of acting recklessly since his coronavirus diagnosis, renewing attacks on the president's handling of the pandemic.
Trump panicked. His reckless personal conduct since his diagnosis has been unconscionable. The longer Donald Trump is president, the more reckless he seems to get. Experts say we're likely to lose another 200,000 people in the next few months unless we take some serious action, and he doesn't know what he's doing. All because this president's only worried about one thing, the stock market.
Well, for more, we're joined by our correspondent Simon Marks from Washington, D.C. And Simon, why has it taken so long for the White House to release Mr. Trump's negative test results? And with some, 3 weeks left of the election day, will Mr. Trump's battleground state blitz help him turn the tide, especially on those polls?
Well, those are both very good questions, Adam. With regard to the test results, the White House, I think, found itself stuck between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, they needed to find a way of demonstrating that President Trump is not contagious any longer for COVID-19. You've seen the pictures of him at that rally in Sanford, Florida. You can see behind him large numbers of people attending that rally not wearing face masks. Face masks, safe distancing not being applied there, even though the president's own public health advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, said today that this could serve essentially as another super spreader event, similar to the event back at the White House when the president introduced Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the American people. So the White House needed to show that he was not contagious. But at the same time, by putting information into the public domain about the president's new negative test results, they raise questions about why they won't tell the public when the president last tested negative prior to his positive test result. Because, of course, that has huge implications for the timeline of President Trump's spread of COVID-19. They argued previously that those test results were a privacy issue. So pressure now building on them again to come clean about precisely what the timeline of his infection was. As to whether this blitz of the battleground states can turn anything around, well, if this can't, nothing can, because what else has he got left? There's not going to be a debate this week. There'll be one more presidential debate as late as October the 22nd, but already voting is underway in 40 of America's 50 states. So what Republicans are looking for from the president is focus and discipline. They want to see if he can go after Joe Biden and the Democrats in a very focused and disciplined way and stop talking about extraneous things like Hillary Clinton's email. The country has long since passed that as an issue. So let's see, now that he's making what he describes as his official return to the campaign trail, if over the next couple of weeks he can manage to do it.
Indeed, he has no time to lose, Simon. And of course, this all happening amid the confirmation hearing of Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. And how likely will she sail through the vote? And what can the Democrats achieve by not questioning her ability, but you know, portraying the process as an attack on health care?
Well, the Republicans have the numbers to confirm her as Ruth Bader Ginsburg's successor on the Supreme Court, provided nothing unexpected happens during the these confirmation hearings in the Senate Judiciary Committee, unless there's some kind of surprise on the road to the Judiciary Committee voting and sending her nomination to the full Senate for a vote. I mean, the Republicans are in the majority in the U.S. Senate. You would have to think that she is going to end up on the Supreme Court. And so the Democrats are relentlessly putting their focus on the imminence of a decision about the Affordable Care Act, known here as Obamacare. And on the campaign trail, the Democrats' presidential candidate, Joe Biden, is absolutely trying to turn that issue to his advantage.
This nominee said she wants to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. The president wants to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. Let's keep our eye on the ball. This is about whether or not in less than one month, Americans are going to lose their health insurance.
But of course, there is a huge issue about the Supreme Court that Joe Biden won't answer. A very important question for many American voters. Will he, if he wins the presidency, enlarge the Supreme Court, add extra justices to it in a bid to dilute the conservative influence that Amy Coney Barrett would bring to the bench? He says he's not willing to answer that question until after the election. That's quite a position for the Democrat challenger for the presidency to take. And it's one of those issues that President Trump could really push heavily on over the course of the next couple of weeks in a bid to try and force the Democrats to disclose what they're planning to do.
Sounds like they're keeping their cards close to their chest there, Simon. And Kamala Harris also refrained from answering that question at the VP debate. Thanks for that. That was Simon Marks coming to us live from Washington, D.C.